Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we bless you. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we pray that truly you speak to us by your Holy Spirit, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So good to see all of you here. Today is a special day. It's Pentecost. And that's when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And today is also confirmation service for all these precious people wearing white in front. The timing is actually perfect because as part of the confirmation service, our Archbishop will lay his hands on all of you and he will ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. Praise God. You know, when the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, he gave the gift of tongues. This is the first slide, please. He gave the gift of tongues. And for us to know what God wants from us today, this Pentecost, let us look at these two things, the season and the spiritual gift. Next slide, please. The season and the spiritual gift. Why did God choose to send the Holy Spirit at Pentecost? Why not another time of the year? There's something special about this season. And why this spiritual gift of tongues? Also something special. The first part of the sermon could be heavy going, but it's laying the biblical foundation. Please bear with me. I know you can. And if we can get through the first part, I promise you the second part will be easy going. Amen. So the first part, the season. In the Bible, there's a chapter, Leviticus 23. It's a chapter all about seasons, seven seasons or seven feasts. If you read most English versions of the Bible, the word feast is used. Personally, I don't think it's a very good word because when I hear the word feast, I get so hungry. Actually, out of one of the feasts, one is not about eating at all, but it's about fasting. So I don't think it's such a good word. Probably a better word is the original Hebrew word used in the Bible, and it's mod. It's actually spelled as moed, but it's pronounced mod, and it means appointed time or sacred season. Seven of them. So the first one is Passover. An important part of the Passover celebration is to kill a lamb. And this lamb actually refers to Jesus. We know this because 1 Corinthians 5:7 calls Jesus the Passover lamb. So just as a lamb was killed at Passover, so too this whole feast of Passover speaks to us about Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying on the cross for us. So first feast, Passover, the death of Jesus. The second feast is unleavened bread. And this speaks of the burial of Jesus. Why the burial? You know, in the Bible, leaven is a symbol for sin. And Jesus called himself the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. But Jesus had no sin. So in that sense, he is unleavened bread. And let's look at the timing. Passover was held on Nisan 14. Nisan, maybe you think it's a car, but actually it's not a car. It's the name of a month in the biblical calendar. For us, it corresponds to the March and April time period. So 14th of Nisan is Passover. The next day, 15th of Nisan, is unleavened bread. And so I ask you, if Jesus died 14th of Nisan, the next day, where was he? He was in the grave, right? He's in the grave. So 15th Nisan, unleavened bread speaks of the burial of Jesus. And so, first feast, death. Second feast, burial. The third feast must be resurrection. It must be resurrection. And so it is. It's first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who died. You know the thing about first fruits? It's a guarantee that more will come. If you see the first fruit, you know more are going to come. It's a guarantee. So just as Jesus is the first fruits of those who died because he resurrected from the dead, so for us who believe in him, we know death is not the end, but we have more after that. We have more life after that. The fourth feast is Pentecost. But let's skip it for now, and we'll come back to this later. We go straight to number five. Number five is trumpets. And trumpets actually speaks of the second coming of Jesus. We know this because of the language used in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The slide, please. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. This verse clearly links the coming again of Jesus with the sound of a trumpet, the Feast of Trumpets. And there's something else special about this feast. It is the only one out of the seven. This is the only one where nobody knows the day or the hour. You see, the rest of the feasts, we know already when they will happen. We saw the dates just now. Nisan 14, Passover. Nisan 15, unleavened bread. Even Pentecost, you can count, it's exactly 50 days after first fruits. It's Pentecost. All the feasts got their special dates. But this one, trumpets, nobody knows the day or the hour. And why? Because the Feast of Trumpets will begin only when the new moon is sighted. Let's see the slide, please. You know, there's a difference between full moon and new moon. The full moon is very easy to see. It's so big, it's so bright. But the new moon is very hard to see because it's just a tiny sliver, a tiny bit of moon. And so on a dark, cloudy night, it's very hard to spot the new moon. And so people know the time frame is roughly October in our calendar. October, but which day, which time, nobody knows. And so it was the job of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin is the highest council in the Jewish custom in the first century AD. It is the job of the Sanhedrin to say, we can see the new moon, and then the Feast of Trumpets will begin. So because of the uncertainty of the timing, this feast developed a special nickname. And the nickname is, this is the day and the hour which no man knows. And now we see the language that Jesus himself used to talk about his coming. Matthew 24, 36, Jesus said, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So you can see the Feast of Trumpets speaks of the coming again of Jesus. The next feast is the Day of Atonement. This is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It's a national day of fasting and mourning. And this speaks of the end times, where the Jewish people will come to deep repentance and tears because they will be overcome with a sense of grief that they rejected the Messiah, Jesus. And so we can read this in Zechariah 12:10. The Day of Atonement speaks of the day when Israel will repent and be saved. And then finally, the seventh feast is Tabernacles. It's also called Booths, the final feast. And this speaks of the end times where Gentiles and Jews will gather together in Jerusalem to celebrate Tabernacles. And that is Zechariah 14:16. That's a very fast sweep of seven seasons. But you may say, what does this have to do with us? So let's look at the next slide, please. The first three feasts, they were fulfilled at the first coming of Jesus. The last three feasts, they will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. In the middle is number four. And this is where we're living now. We're living between the first and the second comings of Jesus. The fourth feast is Pentecost. It is the season of the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage all of us to really seek the Holy Spirit and the power that He gives to us so that we can fulfill the work of God. See the words of Jesus in John 16, verse 8. And Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. Next slide, John 16, verse 8. And when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin, because we are all sinners. Righteousness, because our righteousness is through faith in Jesus. And judgment, because Satan, the ruler of this world, will be judged, and he will no longer be able to deceive us. So in effect, if you think of this sin, righteousness, judgment, this is the gospel message that we are asked to proclaim. And we can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, the next slide, please. You'll be happy to know we finished the first part of the sermon, the difficult part. And now we go to the easy part. When the Holy Spirit came, Acts 2, at Pentecost, He gave the disciples the gift of tongues. Why tongues? So many gifts that He could have given, but why tongues? So the next slide, Acts chapter 2, verse 5, says that there were people, Jewish people, from all the nations under heaven, they came to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. They were Jews, and so they spoke their native language, which is Hebrew. But on top of that, they also spoke the languages of the nations. So the Jews from China, they could speak Chinese. The Jews from India could speak Indian. Just like today, the Jews in Singapore speak. I'm sure the Jews in Singapore today can speak Singlish. Praise God. Back to Acts chapter 2. When the disciples suddenly spoke the languages of the nations, the whole crowd was totally shocked. Why? Because these disciples were from Galilee. Galilee is just a small place in Israel. It's nothing compared to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is known not only as the capital of Israel, but also as the center of learning. The brainiest, cleverest Jews are said to come from Jerusalem, not from Galilee. So how is it that these disciples from Galilee could suddenly speak the languages of all the nations? Humanly impossible. And so when they did so, the whole crowd recognized this is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. This authenticates the coming of the Holy Spirit. In my case, the Holy Spirit gave me the gift of tongues first, and later He gave me other gifts. So this is a testimony about one of the gifts that He gave me. It's a testimony about this couple, Robert and Irene. They are cathedral members. Robert had a problem. His left hand, one of the fingers couldn't straighten out. It was very, very painful. It couldn't straighten out. It was so painful, he couldn't even press a doorbell. And, you know, to make it worse, Robert was a left-hander. So he, like, totally couldn't do all his normal activities. He went to a doctor. Doctor referred him to a physiotherapist. It didn't help. Robert was still in terrible pain. And then one day, it so happened that Robert and Irene had to attend a dinner on Sunday night. So they couldn't go to the pre-COVID 5 p.m. service, which was their usual. They couldn't. So they went instead to the 7 a.m. service. And before I tell you about that, I have to tell you what happened the night before, which is Saturday night. At that time, I was the pastor of the 7 a.m. service. Saturday night was a very precious time of prayer for me. So I would decline all dinner invitations Saturday night, just stay at home and pray for the Sunday ministry. It so happened when I was praying that the Holy Spirit gave me the word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a gift whereby you can suddenly know something humanly impossible to know unless the Holy Spirit tells you. So the Holy Spirit told me this. He said, tomorrow at the 7 a.m. service, there will be someone with a finger problem and God will heal that person. So the next day, 7 a.m. service, I preach. I gave the word of knowledge. I didn't know Robert was there. Robert is not even from the 7 a.m. service. When Robert heard the word of knowledge, he looked around. Oh, he said, no one has put up the hand. His wife, Irene, also looked around. Nobody put up the hand. So Irene said to Robert, she said, hey, nobody put up the hand. This is for you, la. So poor Robert, he felt embarrassed. He just shyly put up his hand. And I prayed for him later. Nothing happened immediately, but within 2 to 3 days, the pain disappeared completely. And Robert was so sure, amen, Robert was so sure that this was God. This was not physiotherapy, because physiotherapy didn't help. Robert was healed in 2014. It's now 10 years later, and Robert is still gloriously healed. Amen. Amen. The season and the spiritual gift. Now is the season of the Holy Spirit. What spiritual gift has the Holy Spirit given to you, and how are you using it? For me, the two things, the season and the spiritual gift, came together in a way that I could never have imagined. 2 years ago, I retired. I never wanted to retire. I actually wanted to work forever. But it was the Holy Spirit's plan that retirement would be my season to use a gift He had given to me a long time ago. It's a gift of writing. So I knew for a long time the Holy Spirit wanted me to write a book. But I never had the time until I retired. Then I had the time. So 2 years ago until now, I've been writing. And praise God, I finished this book. It's called The Coming Wind of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, I'm very grateful to Reverend Christopher Chan for giving permission for me to sell this book straight after the service. It'll be at the Graham White Library over here on your left. What is your season in life? Do you recognize this as the season of the Holy Spirit, the season of Pentecost? Today I want to pray for two groups of people. One, you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you want to be. I will pray for you. The second group, you've already been baptized in the Spirit, but you want more of His spiritual gifts so that you can bless more people. I will pray for you too. So can we now please close our eyes and let's pray. Hallelujah. First, is there anyone here who's not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but this is your desire to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Will you please raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Yes, anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, yes. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you see our hands and you see our hearts. And Lord, it is your desire to fill us with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So I pray for these people who have responded, that truly you'll baptize them now with your power. And Lord, with great love for you and great love for the people everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Secondly, I'd like to pray for those of you who've already been baptized in the Spirit, but you want a fresh infilling and you want more of the gifts of the Spirit. If that's you, can you raise your hand? Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I bless you, Lord, for the eager hearts of all the people here, the hearts who are so open to you, longing for a fresh infilling. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you come now. Just fill this place with your presence. Blow with your wind over all of us. Fill us afresh, Lord. And, Father, for those who are so eagerly wanting more of your gifts, I pray, Father, that you give more and more. And, Lord, that truly all your gifts will be used for the greater glory of your kingdom, will be used in love to bless many people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.